What up, what up, what up?
It's my real debonair look, you know.
Your debonair look.
Debonair look.
You been seeing them old videos of them old heads modeling them suits and stuff?
Hey, what's that?
You been seeing a picture of them old heads, them gray beards modeling their
suits? Oh, yeah. If somebody came up to me at my job talking about, I will hope I never owe them any money.
Right. Man, they getting it in, though. They getting it in. You're stylish, my brother. So I know you would fit in quite well. I just don't see you feel the need to floss like that all the time.
No, I think we ought to get George Johnson, Elder Morgan.
Just leave it alone. Welcome, everybody, to Religiously Incorrect. Hope y'all doing well. Hope everybody's good. Tap in, like, share. Pastor Tatum, good to see you. Just leave it alone.
Yes. How y'all doing?
Dave, top popping in. Y'all might as well just go on ahead and just drop y'all Kirk opinions right now. This is the custom episode of Religiously Incorrect.
So we're going to use every cuss word you available.
Cuss RS. This is Cuss RS. We're going to say darn. We're going to say darn. Freak.
You said freak.
Dang. Those are the Christian cuss words. Dang.
Dag blagget.
Dag nabbit.
Shut the front door.
That's your mother-in-law's favorite.
Yes, it is.
Oh my goodness. It's been some kind of day, man. I trust your Sunday went well.
It did, man. It went well.
Gotcha.
So how do we feel about Kirk, man? What's your take on Kirk, man?
I don't feel anything about Kirk. I feel something about our responses and what this is all saying about us. I don't feel anything about Kirk. We all know that a grown man child shouldn't be posting up no recordings. You know, that's something that Kellyanne Conway, I don't know if you remember that Kellyanne Conway woman, that white lady that worked for Trump, looked like Skeletor, the one that looked like her daughter was like 15 or 16. And she was posting up like arguments and getting cussed out. But this is a little 15, 16 year old girl.
Right.
This dude is 32, 33 whole years old. Secondly, people sometimes miss the mark and don't do what they should do or whatever. But I will say this.
It's not
about Kirk or his son. It's about us. And I see two factions at work. I see people who are looking for an opportunity, every opportunity they can to bash the church. And every time there's something even semi-controversial. Oh, that's what we forgot to talk about. We had to talk about Leandria and her towel picture.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Every time there's something semi-controversial, all the church haters are immediately. But here's what they start saying. They start saying, see, y'all judging Kirk. And I'm like, I ain't see nobody judge Kirk. Literally. 99.99% of posts and comments have been, everybody messes up. I hope he repents and they repair it and it's good. So you got the church hater crowd that are always looking for something to accuse the church folk of being judgmental.
Right.
Then you have the church crowd, Christians, who are trying to prove they're not judgmental. And they won't even just say, hey, that was wrong. They just start trying to compete about who cussed more. I cuss too. Let me tell you how much I cuss. And after a while, it's like, okay, you know, I just feel like it's too much extremes. And so that's the way I feel about it. That's the way I feel personally. I feel like it's too much extreme. I'm not trying to hold this dude to nothing. We all know what's right and wrong. Most of us still believe cussing is wrong. But like any other sin, you repent, you make it right. But again, church bashers looking for an opportunity and then church folk trying to prove how cool and relevant and non-judgmental they are. And so that conversation, like, who is judging this dude? Tell me somebody who judged this guy.
I didn't. I don't. Nobody. I'm not going to. My thing is, we didn't hear the whole thing.
Of course not.
I'm not going to voice any opinion when I didn't. First of all, let me just say this. Whatever was said before could have made what Kirk said cuss worthy. There's some cuss worthy statements that happen.
Cuss worthy? Let me get my theology book. Let me get my theology book out and find out where this cussology book is at. Okay.
Cussworthy issues.
Welcome to Cussology with Jeff Stanford. You're right.
But I totally agree. And let's just be honest. Nobody can get under your skin being disrespectful to you like your children.
Like your children. Nah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, if you're, you know, I know there's been a couple times I had, what?
Yeah.
You know, you do the Bill Cosby. I brought you in this world. I take you out. Yeah, I think. I don't know if quoting Bill Cosby is a good thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't. No Bill Cosby quotes, no Puddin' Pops. No, we want no parts of Bill Cosby. Man, whatever, man. We still love Bill. We love Bill.
We love Bill.
I can love R. Kelly. I can love Bill. So, yes, sir. Good job. So what you're saying, Pastor Jeff, is that there are some cuss-worthy statements, some cuss-worthy situations, what you say.
I mean, you know, you're going to have those who are so holy and sanctified that they never, you know, they've never said a cuss word. They've never been to the bar. And that's not my testimony. I'm sorry.
But you know what, Jeff, though, but let's be honest, though. But it is somebody's.
It is.
So just because I don't curse and I never drank and I never smoked. That's literally my story. That is literally my story. I've never been a curse. You know, you try when you're a kid, you try to be, but I was never one of them people, never smoked them. But that is some people's story. And that goes back to what I said about the judgmental thing. Like, we're trying so hard to not show that we're judgmental. We almost act like not doing things organically makes us judgmental.
Right. And I didn't mean it like what I'm saying is that although you never went to the bar, although you never cursed, you did do something.
And cursing is more than just a select group of words in a particular culture in a particular era that are off limits. Every culture, every era has its words. There are Hebrew cuss words, you know, Spanish. There's ancient words that might not be a curse anymore. You know, they say you go to other countries, you say something, and it's a bad word in that country. It's all relative. But there are many ways to cut people down, to speak ill, to curse without actually saying what we would call a cuss word. There are lots of people who curse people without actually saying a cuss or swear word. And I say all the time in church, you might not say the four letter words, but you say a whole lot of other words that are just as damaging and demonic, you know, because your spirit and your heart, you know exactly, you might as well have said those words the way the vitriol. The poison behind your criticism, behind your down talk. But I will say that again, you know, there are people who really don't. And I don't think we should like try to come out the bag on people, you know, who say, oh man, that's messed up. At least, and that's my whole thing, is like, we can't even say, yeah, that's messed up, man. Shouldn't have did that. Like, you can't even say that no more.
Right. And as far as Leandria, I mean, I only looked at the picture 25 times, and I figured, I looked at it, and I mean, because I had to make sure.
He said, I only got a poster on my ceiling, but not in the bathroom. But this stuff is purposely provocative. Let's just be honest. They say that all attention is good attention. And there are a lot of people, first of all, we already know, Leandria is, you all know, I intimately know, with this failure of an event we were supposed to have last year and dealing with that. She is who she is, but she is getting the attention she wants. And again, it almost reminds me of that picture of a lady in a dress, and they be like, is this appropriate for church? I'm like, people are going to have opinions, but it's like they throw it out there just to wait for somebody to say, no, it's not, so that they can say it's judgmental. And that's what I feel like we are trapping ourselves with this. I can't just say, man, that's not cool, man. That's not really how I roll. That's my opinion. We have turned opinions into judgments.
Well, I mean, and I think, you know, these are two different stories because, you know, we can honestly say that what Kirk done may have been a moment of passion. What Leandria done was done on purpose.
There was some passion involved. I mean, there was some passion involved. And she cussed too. She probably cussed the cameraman out.
Oh, yeah. But, hey.
You know, I agree. Somebody else said, I didn't even actually listen to the whole thing because I tried to hear it. I think I first saw it when I was driving. You know, you hit it. It sounded real muffled. I'm not going to take the time to do like an audio, you know, investigation. But somebody mentioned, like, You don't cuss that fluid unless you cuss all the time. They said, like, he cussed like he had the cuss words down. It wasn't, it's like he been hanging with Madea and them. So,
I don't want to put a lot of judgment on, but I mean,
man, judge, man. Forget them people, man. Just judge people.
I've sat in rooms. I've sat in arenas with pastors who,
who are
fluent.
Dip doc. After they preach revival, speak in tongues, lay hands on people, they be like, where the F we going?
Listen, say no names and bear no blames. I know we got to go.
Nah, say some names, doc.
I had to go pick up this preacher from the airport to do a revival. Me and Elder Jenkins. We drove out there. I had the nice car. I picked him up, and you know Jenkins. He sat in the back seat. No, we don't know this guy, but he's doing a revival at a church, a huge church in Youngstown.
She said it was flies. She said it was flies, not Kirk.
And we on our way back, and he's on the phone. You know, he said he wants to grab something to eat, so we taking him to a restaurant, and a dude talking on the phone, he just started cussing. I mean, he was just like cussing, and me and Jenkins looking at each other like,
yeah.
But that night, he killed the revival.
But the church. The funny thing is, people act like you're not even supposed to be like mildly shocked at all. I mean, right. If you don't know a person in that way, and then you see him in that way, you know, you find out your mama's a stripper, you're going to be surprised for a minute. I mean, you're going to be surprised for a minute.
I was wondering what that pole in your bedroom was for.
You might come to accept it later, but at least let me be shocked for a minute. So let me just make my point clear. I know we went over our normal beginning time, but Kirk was worth it. Kirk has the world on fire right now. First of all, you do have a right to be shocked.
Right.
You do have a right to be disappointed. You do have a right to say that's wrong. I don't think a person should do that, even considering it, that we all missed the mark. Of course, you don't have a right or heaven or hell to put people in. Of course, you don't want to judge to the point of condemning a person. But I just think we need to back off of constantly trying to just beat back any standard, trying to make some kind of just basic. Again, when I say judgment call, I'm not saying judging his life or soul. I'm just saying judging the situation. And I think that's what people miss. We're judging the situation by what we understand about it, not the person.
Right, right.
Not the person. So that's my take. President Harrison, Janine said that was plies. We appreciate it. Tim said pro cusser. Janine said she's not shocked. Just, I mean, that's fine. I mean, I get it. I understand people are human. My little proclivity is a little bit different. When I see somebody in a certain way, would I be shocked, disappointed? Shocked or disappointed if I heard Jeff shot somebody? Yes, because I never known. I know Jeff. You know, I never known Jeff to be like that. So if I hear something about him, I still have a right personally to be like, "Oh man." I mean, surprise, shock, disappointment. God gave him these feelings to feel. So, you know, that's me. Yeah. So, Jeff, I want you to introduce our guest, man. We want to get right to it. Want to get right into it? Go ahead.
We have Mr. Youngstown tonight. He is no stranger to anybody in this area.
Mr. Youngstown. I heard.
Mr. Youngstown. Yes, sir. If you've watched any, if you're on social media at all, I'm quite sure you've heard of him. You've seen him with either one of his dynamic interviews of the with the stars or one of his local interviews. He is a dynamic preacher, a dynamic person. He's just a good all-around individual. Welcome to the stage. Everybody put your hands together for our brother, our good friend, our little brother, Minister Chris.
What's Minister up? Chris what up? Big bros, what's up, man? Good to see
what's
y'all.
What's happening with your brother?
With you, man.
Man, first of all, thank y'all for having me. I really appreciate the invite. It's definitely an honor. I do watch you guys' show, and you guys are definitely some clowns, which makes my life easier tonight. So, and I also want to publicly put this out there on a serious note. I'm gonna share something with you guys that I haven't actually shared before.
Uh-oh.
So, back in 2018, when I just came back from doing the Stellars, I was doing a bunch of local interviews, and ironically, Todd well, correction, Pastor Johnson, you know, I know him as Todd. Pastor Johnson was one of the first ones who I did, like, who I did something with on my show. And we took, like, a walk around, like, this neighborhood, and that was pretty cool. But he was giving me so much game at that time. You know, you might recall this. My tripod was
janky. Yeah, we was on the east side. Yeah, we was over by the
home. Yeah. Like, bro, my tripod was janky, and, you know, my Facebook Live was acting stupid. But I knew I had something. So Big Bro put me on some game and hit me up with, like, some things to work. And I was using it. So I don't know if I've told you thank you enough, but appreciate you, bro. Thank you.
I appreciate you. We're proud of you, Chris. I mean, you know I got that nerd ministry. You know I got that Geek Squad ministry. I gave you the anointing of the networking and internet protocols and all that mess.
And it worked.
Yeah, it worked, man. We've been watching you come up, man. You can't go anywhere in Youngstown without seeing Chris. Chris is at the high school basketball games. He is interviewing the stars. This cat is showing up at family reunions, bar mitzvahs, stores, checking out what the drinks are. I mean, it's just real. And you celebrated your 300th interview.
Man, yes. God is
good. You are some Barbara Walker. You are some Barbara Walker. Baba Wawa. You are some Baba Wawa.
Man, time goes by fast, man, because I saw something on my Facebook memories today where a few years ago at this time, I was creeping up on my 100th, and now here I am at 300. I'm like, man, that time will go by fast, man.
And let's just be clear here. You're not interviewing me no more. This cat then moved up to, like, Sinbad, Tommy Davidson, Lamar Odom.
Man, bless.
Hey, you interviewed Megan Good, man.
You interviewed Megan Good.
My wife told me I wasn't even allowed to interview Megan Good, even if she came on the show.
Hey, that was another Pastor Jeff trustworthy moment. That was another trustworthy moment for Pastor Jeff.
I was sitting there like, how he get Megan? Nah, but listen, real quick, man, we want to say congratulations, man, because you're about to tie the knot, man. You're about to get hit, man.
Up, man? Man, God is good, man.
Don't do it.
Wait, is Shamika around?
Don't do it.
I love y'all, man. But yeah, you know, me and my lovely fiance Chanel, soon to be Chanel Gunther, will be hitched this summer. I will not release the date on here publicly because all you colored people are going to be inboxing me asking for invites and all that good stuff. But yeah, you know, it's been a lot of fun. This journey has not been an easy one. As you guys know, you go through your ups and your downs. But man, to have somebody there. Actually, I'll go ahead and share this. You guys know, as men of faith and, you know, when you are driven to do something great, you got to have somebody there with you.
Oh, yeah, man.
That can really help you. And I know you guys see a lot of stuff I'm doing now, but Chanel played a big role in it. You know, she got me the lights and some of the mics. I'm like, the fact that you have somebody that is willing to invest in you and sow into you, that is a blessing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
absolutely, man. Yeah, tell her to keep buying that gear. Don't let her stop buying that gear after you get married, man.
You know, just saying. You know what? Actually, y'all like that's this great. Chris Gunther. Hold on. Do y'all like this Chris Gunther shirt?
Oh, you got it hot, Doc.
Bro, yes. She got this for me as an anniversary gift.
All right. I got to talk to my wife, man. She's slipping, man.
We're going to have her on the show.
Right.
Talk
to these wives. I ain't got a Bible. I ain't got a mic.
Let me just help you out real quick, Chris. First of all, I don't care how many invitations they ask you for. You ain't over the invitations. That is not your job.
Right.
That is not your responsibility. You might get your dad and your mom.
That's your
cousins, they ain't coming.
And the rest of us Negroes showing up anyway. We just going to show up.
I'll tell you this. If y'all show up, I won't kick y'all out. I won't do that. Now, if it's like the councilmen's and the mayor's, may the Lord bless you and keep you, but I hope the door don't hit you where the good Lord split you. In Jesus' name, there we go.
You're telling to lead them checks, Doc.
Exactly.
Put that box by the door.
Yeah, because these things are kind of expensive. But I mean, we got to do what we got to do.
I know how it is. I know how it is, man. So tell us about your most exciting interview. I mean, the one that had you nervous and excited and, like, you know, not that they're not all great. you know, you don't want Tommy Davidson getting out here cussing you out, you know, if you don't say him. But what was the, up to date, what has been your most exciting just personally for you?
Personally, because I'm a huge 90s fan and I've absolutely loved, you know, the Fresh Prince and Martin when Tommy Davidson was on Martin. So when okay. when I interviewed him, that was the one I was very nervous about, but I had a lot of fun with. And he would randomly break into character as I'm doing the interview with him. He broke into the Varnell Hill character. And I'm like, what? If he broke into the Varnell man, then I'm about to become the light-skinned Martin.
Right.
So we did a whole little segment where, you know, he was like, you know, man, it's like God stopped the world so Varnell can get back on top, man. So then I was like, so Varnell, since, you know, you back on top, do you still got the yams, the catfish good? And, you know, we kind of started going back and forth about that. And then I was like, well, you know, we started talking about basketball. And he was like, you know, I just had Steph Curry at the house. I'm like, why you got Steph Curry at the house? How come LeBron James can't be at the house? Why you got the light? Mind you, I'm light-skinned.
Right.
I was trying to be Martin. Right. So I was like, why you got Steph at the house? How come Martin, you know, how come LeBron can't be there? And he starts laughing. And I'm like, dude, that was hysterical. Like, I've never done that.
If you can make a comedian laugh, you're doing something.
Right.
Yo, like, I've actually made a couple laugh. Like behind the scenes, like when I went to go interview Jess with the Mess, but everybody knows her as Jess Hilarious. She told me backstage I was kind of funny. I'm like, that's pretty cool for real to get that kind of. Now, of course, I'm not gonna sit up here and try to do no stand up now.
Right.
But when a comic tells you that, you know, you kind of funny a little bit, you kind of run with it.
Right. Absolutely.
That's cool. And so you named your most favorite. What was the one you felt like you? Have you ever felt like, you know what, I didn't do such a great job? Because
I think
we talk about successes a lot, but we don't talk about some of our failures. And I mean, I know Big Mike likes to ask, well, how was our first sermon? So, you know, I'm going to ask you, you know, what interview did you say, you know, after you've done, you know, I need to go back to the drawing board. I need to get some things more together.
Honestly, it was back in 2019 when I interviewed MC Light. I went back and I looked at it and I said that was an okay interview, but it wasn't my best because I was only allowed to ask her a few questions and I wasn't able to kind of expand the way I wanted to. But I took that as a learning experience and I just wanted to keep growing. And I look back at a nice amount of my old interviews, and what I was doing was I was researching great interviewers like Oprah and Barbara Walters. And Oprah had the tendency to say yes a lot in her interview. So that's what I started doing. And as I go back and I start watching it, I'm like, I'm saying yes too much. And I'm like, this isn't me. So I had to flip up my whole style and say, you know what? I can't be Oprah. I've tried to pay homage to her, but I can't do that. So I just got to go back to just being me. And what I did was, to answer your question directly, after the MC Light, and I want to say it was right after the Michael Vick one, those were the ones that I looked at. Even though I had great numbers, I still struggled with it. And I said, you know what? The next time I get a chance to talk to somebody of that caliber, I'm just going to be me. I'm going to make sure that I'm prepared. I'm going to make sure that my questions are well thought of. And even if I can't write them out, I'm going to just ask God, give me the questions right here, and I'm just going to flow. And 99.9% of the time, it works that way.
Okay.
You said something real important that I really want you to expand on. You said that you were only allowed to ask MC Light certain questions. How, you know, you've been some pretty big people.
Mm-hmm.
How strict is it interviewing these people with their, you know, their team talk, telling you, listen, this is off limits. This is, you know, mm-hmm. you can say it, but this, stay away from this subject.
You know how when you're trying to book somebody to come preach, the middleman sometimes gives you hell. That's how a lot of things happen in this industry that I'm in. The middle person, from the assistant to the PR, they will either be your best friend or they will make you question your salvation right then and there. Like, I'm not exaggerating. But what it also does, it gives you a sense of relief and blessing to know that you're in this type of situation. But to, you know, go back and answer your question, it's more challenging for me when I'll have things prepared and they try to tell me, okay, you can ask this, don't ask this, because now I feel like you're really trying to control my job. You're trying to control what I do. It's kind of like me getting an invite to come preach for Pastor Johnson or Pastor Stanford, and they say you can only preach the New Testament. Don't even think about preaching the Old Testament. It's like now you're trying to control what I do, and I've never been that kind of person. So what I did was I would make sure to formulate the questions in a way that they had to answer it without me overstepping my boundaries.
I feel it. I feel it. Now, to expand on that, which is great insight, how does your place, you know, as you're up and coming on the totem pole, you're not Oprah, you're not Barbara Walters yet, you know, you're not Tyler Smiley yet, mm-hmm. but does that dictate how far you can push? Like, if you had the clout of those bigger names, you could dictate more. So you have to play by the rules more because of, you know, being on the up, getting your first in with some of these people. Do you just feel like, hey, let me just play by the rules and get a good reputation going, you know, a good relationship? Does that play a lot into that?
Playing the role of the underdog has got me this far. So what it has taught me is because you're not a big name, you got to go out there and get it yourself. Don't be afraid to fail. You know, I've reached out to a number of big celebrities and they all, well, I can't say they all said no, but let's say if I reached out to about 10 of them, 8.5 have told me no. Now you're probably thinking, well, Chris, what is a half person? A half person, the one that agreed to do it and then they back out at the last minute. After you already promoted it, after you already told your people about it, they back out and say no. But what that also taught me was the ability to keep going. And it made me say, because I'm not known yet, I got to keep working hard. And sometimes what happens is the artist or the guest, they will allow you to ask them whatever. Because when I interviewed Matt Barnes, I asked him beforehand, before we got on camera, is there anything you do not want me to ask? And he said, I'm an open book, bro. Just go right ahead. Now, I could have asked him about the whole scandal with Derek Fisher or, right. you know, something around there. But I chose not to do that because that's just not what I do. You know, I'm the kind of reporter and media personality. You can trust me. Like, if you got something to say and you really want your story to be told or you really want the people to know what you're trying to get out, you can come to me. You know, you can't go to the other stations because they're going to twist your words. They're going to put little snippets out. And then they're going to share your articles all over Facebook and upset my community.
Yeah, well, I'm that type of person. I'm gonna. You can't trust me. I'm gonna bring out bank statements, rehab records, illegitimate children. I'm gonna be on Instagram Live like we have a special guest. Hello to Dewan. You haven't paid child support in 5 years. Now, Chris, you had me scared for a second. When you said 8.5 people, I thought you was talking about midgets or something like you.
He about to try and get me to turn pink. You know I'm like,
you're about to get canceled. I'm trying to get you canceled, Doc.
You can't get me canceled.
Chris might be the only person. Chris, are you shorter than me?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Y'all should have a contest.
And I'm not a very tall individual. Okay, I'm not really tall, but I mean, we might be eye level.
Chris, let's look, but we can both ball. That's what
the question is. Oh, of course.
Let me ask you this. Look at self. Put your Muggsy Bogues look at self out here.
Cut your mic off, man.
because you said something very special that, you know, you are the type of person these people can trust. How does being a minister, a very up and coming popular minister, you doing a lot of preaching, you know, especially for, what's the group you go to a lot?
I was with Teen Challenge a lot.
Teen Challenge, yeah. Now that's
man,
special.
Miss them. I missed them. COVID messed that up too, but I missed them, man.
So how does that? Todd is crazy.
Todd is a fool, man.
No, I like the question. That's a perfect question, though.
How does that play in, you know, being a minister and doing these interviews? Do you try to gear your question, because I know a lot of people are looking for the scandal, but as a minister, are you saying, you know what, I'm gonna try to stay away from that?
I want the scandal.
You gotta know when to pick and choose your battles. And what I mean by that is, yeah, you can get the story, but are you going to feel good about yourself afterwards? And I understand a lot of people will be like, come on, man, you gotta ask this person how come they slept with this person and now they have an ill. Like now they have a child that's not theirs, or, you know, how come this site isn't reporting on things that they should be. And I've never been the kind of man, not reporter, I've never been the kind of man that was a liar. Or when I talk to you, you're going to regret that you talked to me. And believe it or not, I haven't preached in a year, and it's kind of crazy. But as a minister, you always have to stay ready and things of that nature. I was in Cincinnati covering the Cincinnati Music Festival back in 2019. And I was hanging out with a bunch of people from DJ Kid Capri to Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike, who the world knows as New Edition to Major. I was hanging out with all of them. And at the end of one of our sessions, what was going on, everybody was about to go out and get turned up. I mean, they were about to go to the strip clubs. They was about to go smoke. And they was about to go have some fun, right? And
they need a minister. They need a minister to go with them. So they called me. Pray for them.
The part that's crazy is they were like, "Hey, bro, you trying to roll?" And I'm like, "Nah, I'm about to go back to my hotels. I can get up." It was like, "All right, man. Look, if you change your mind, I'll have a big booty one waiting for him." Like, "Hey, bro, I ain't with all that. I'm here to do my job and keep it pushing for several reasons, because you know how as you get elevated, temptation comes. And you'll have people trying to tug on you left and right, but you have to always remember, this is what I had to do, is behind closed doors, it's just you and God. When you're in public, it's you and God. And God has the ability to test you because he wants to see if you can be trusted. And I have always been the kind of person where you're not going to catch me doing something that is going to make you look at me cross-eyed in a different way. I'm just not that kind of man. So I've always been the kind of person where I wanted to do right by God and by people. Haven't always done the right thing, but when it comes to this kind of space, I'm trying to keep my name as clean as possible.
Right, right. You mentioned compromising situations. Have you run into compromising or conflicting subjects? Like, I just don't want to touch that person right now because their lifestyle or activity, again, not being judgmental, but maybe it's just, they're just too wilding out right now, and you don't know what you'll get out of them, what kind of behavior you'll get out of them. Has there ever been like a compromising subject? Like, you know what? I'm just not going to do that right now.
A few of them, there really have been. And there was one recently that happened where somebody from our hometown was unfortunately shot and killed. And I saw what was going on with the reports that were coming out, and the reports did not add up to this person's life at all. And it took everything in me not to publicly call something out. But I still had to remember, even though I may have not known this individual at all, I still have to be very careful now of what I say and what I don't say. Now, I don't want anybody to think that I'm afraid to speak my opinion, because when I have something to say, you will know I have something to say. But you also have to remember, as you ascend, people are always trying to twist your words, or they're trying to make it seem as if you're a mean individual, and certain topics will come up where you have to, and I had to do this several times. There are certain topics that come up that you can't shy away from in this business, but you also don't want to miss out on opportunities because of your personal convictions. Because even though I'm a minister, I learned this earlier in my ministerial years, and even now, is you can't keep somebody that is very anointed, you cannot keep them boxed in. You know, it's kind of like when David was tending to the sheep and his brothers wanted to keep him back there. But the reality of it was his anointing was so big that you could not just keep him with the sheep, because there was a king with the sheep. I've always been the kind of person, you can't keep me boxed in. That's why you can't keep me boxed in to just the church. I'm bigger than that. You can't keep me boxed into sports because I'm bigger than that. You can't keep me boxed into entertainment because I'm bigger than that. When God has his hand on you, you're bigger than what they're trying to box you into.
Love it. Love it. Love it. We're going to pause for station identification and thank our guests, Chris, for being with us. Thank our viewers who are watching. Please like, share, hit the hearts. Leave your comments, your questions for Chris. We want to ask them about the business. Maybe there's something we're not touching on, but we do want to thank our sponsor as well. I'm going to knock one of our sponsor spots out the way. I call them now the Phillips Care family of businesses. Phillips Care Cleaning is what we'll start with. They clean residential and commercial buildings in the Mahoning Valley and beyond, cleaning your house, your business from top to bottom, even the carpet. And I have seen their work firsthand. They do a great job. Their motto is, we take care of the mess that causes you stress. And you know, we love to rhyme. We some rhyming folk. That's some Jesse Jackson stuff. We take care of the mess that causes you stress. And they really do. Like their Facebook page at Phillips Care LLC. Visit their website at PhillipsCareLLC.com or call my man Fernando at 330-219-7916. That's 330-219-7916. We're talking cleaning, hauling, snow plowing, landscaping and grass cutting. If you got trash or you need to get your house cleaned out, all that, even repair, all of those things they do, check out Phillips Care LLC, and I know they'll appreciate it. Let's throw it at Pastor Jeff. You want to throw a question at Minister Gunther?
Yeah, I would. First, I want to give a statement, man, because I see you a lot. You know what I mean? You're really socially savvy as far as social media is going. But one of the things I like about you is, you know, we'll see you doing this interview with, say, a superstar on one day, and then the next day we'll see you post, if you need your grass cut, call me.
He's a grinder. He's a grinder.
Whoo, brings back memories.
That to me is one of the most humble things about you, that you're able to do that and still stay relevant and not even worry about what people think. And this guy doing interviews with these people, but then he want to cut grass. You know, so I love that about you, man. I just want to give it up to you for that, man. Being so humble and being that grinder, you know what I mean, of what you do. My question to you is, you know, oftentimes I see you write, who would you like me to interview? Who would you like to see Chris Gunther interview? And, you know, you might have, you know, 200 people saying who they want you to interview. How do you weed through that? Is there somebody you like, man, I ain't trying to touch that person? You know,
believe it or not, I've done that a couple.
Why you want to interview Pee Wee Herman?
right.
Here's how I decipher it. Number one, I have to feel that they have something I'm interested in. They have to have something that is going to be beneficial to me, to my ratings. And that's just on my end. On their end, what are they doing that's going to benefit the community? What are they doing that I think my listeners or my audience would really want to hear? And also if they're serious or not, because sometimes people move their feet way too slow for me, way too slow. Like, if I reach out to somebody about doing something, I'm trying to knock this out, I don't have time to wait 2 or 3 weeks for a response because I'm a busy man. I got stuff to do. You know, yeah. I don't just sit up here and reach out to you and then just wait on pause. The thing that grinds my gears, too, is when I reach out to somebody or somebody reaches out to me and I'm like, yeah, come on, let's go ahead and do it. And then all of a sudden, they just disappear. I'm like, all right, well, I know who I'm not talking to next. And I think something else that happens, and, you know, you guys have known me for a while now, so, you know, I'm a man of my word. I am never late to any interview that I do. Never late, especially when I have to go out of my way and go set up. Say, for instance, my interview starts at 10 o'clock. I'm showing up no later than 8:45 because I want to set up, do a sound check, make sure my lights are good. If my guest has any questions about what am I going to talk to them about, just want to break it down and be a friendly individual because that's who I am. But there have been times now where somebody tried to stand me up and I had to leave, because when you don't show up on time with me, that proves to me and that shows me that you don't value me and what I can do. And I really don't reschedule when somebody does that, because it goes to show me you've scratched me and you've done me wrong once. I can't really come back to you now, because if you did it once, who's to say you won't do it to me again?
I feel you. Big Mike had a question that came up in the comments. Want to ask you, who is your favorite interviewer to watch? Who do you like? You mentioned that you do follow Oprah and you study the greats, but who do you really like to see kind of tackling some of these big names, big stars, and tough subjects? Who do you like to see that does a great job interviewing?
Since I'm a huge sports guy, Stephen A. Smith.
Okay.
Without question. And I know a lot of people don't like Stephen A., but I love the way that he doesn't shy away from anybody. He's bold. He knows his stuff. And I love the fact that he's a brother, too. it's more personable when you can watch somebody on TV and you can like really relate to them. So I love the way that he conducts his and asks those people questions. Another person too is Charlamagne Tha God from The Breakfast Club.
Okay.
I love watching him because a lot of people can't stand him, but that doesn't stop him. You know, he may be viewed as the guy who's the black quote unquote sellout, but you also got to think when people want to come on The Breakfast Club, most of the time he's conducting the interviews with Angela Yee and DJ Envy, because you know you still got to have some balance. But when it comes down to just interviewing somebody, I think Charlamagne is the best. So Charlamagne and Stephen A are the guys that I really sit back and really analyze.
I got you.
That's good. Hey man, so you're doing all this, you're interviewing stars now. I noticed, I don't know if it was last year maybe, that you said you made the quote and you was very serious about it. If you're going to start charging people to interview with you, has that stuck, or have you had to kind of slot? I mean, and you know, how did you set the prices for that? Now, I mean, I understand it because you're very busy. You're doing a whole lot and time is money.
Is that a standard? Is that a standard for the industry?
It is. There was actually somebody who I had reached out to for an interview, and they just had a really good movie come out, and it was a pretty cool cast member. And I reached out to them to see, could I interview them? And their price was just ridiculous. I understand why they charged it, but there was no way I could do it, just because I've interviewed people around that same caliber who most of them haven't charged. Sometimes if the price is affordable, you'll at least wonder if you should take it or not. But some people you just can't afford. So I said, all right, no hard feelings. It's business. I keep it pushing. To answer your question, Jeff, what I did was I was in Orlando with my fiance and her family. And my fiance's uncle has been following me for a while. And he was like, Chris, I've been following you. You do great work. This was at the time I had just reached my 100th episode. And he says, Chris, you got to start charging, man. You have to, because you have done way too much. Your things are starting to grow. People are really starting to, you know, get hold to who you are. Now you got to start charging. Little did he know, that's something that me and my fiance had already been talking about. We had already been planning on it's time. So what I did was I plotted everything out. I said, after my 100th one, that's when I'm going to start charging. The response I got was crazy. Good and not so good. Because I had people saying, well, how you going to charge me to talk to you? And I just didn't respond to anything negative, because I let my work speak for itself. This year, I had to up my price because of the people who I've talked to. And the Grammys are on. Anytime you win a Grammy, the collaboration price for anybody to come work with you goes up. My mindset is, every time I get somebody bigger, my price got to go up. That's just the reality of it. And in ministry, it's the same way, because there are several big-time leaders and pastors, people like Bishop T.D. Jakes or Bishop R.A. Vernon. I mean, he's not a bishop, but he's in that, you know, range. Some of them I know aren't doing any engagement unless you have a significant amount of money set aside for them. So if they can do that, I know I can do the same thing. Now, of course, I'm not going to be charging Bishop Jakes money, but, you know, I'm going to have to charge something.
So my question for clarity is, and I mentioned that, is that an industry standard? It's an industry standard for people to charge to be interviewed. Like if I'm the star, I would charge someone to interview me, but it's also a standard for interviewers to charge people to be interviewed. So you're saying it's a standard both ways?
It really is. And it really depends on who the individual is too.
I never heard of this. I was surprised. Even I saw the post. I mean, I was surprised that was a reality. Like, you know, like I wouldn't, I've heard there is some pay to play in the preaching world, but you know, Pastor Jeff wouldn't pay me to come preach at my church. You know what I mean? I would offer him an honorarium, you know, as the guest. And I just didn't know it worked both ways like that. I had no idea.
It does. There have been several people I've reached out to that said, unless you have a significant amount put up, we're just going to pass automatically.
Now, you mean the actual star?
The actual star. Because
now, you know, of interviewers doing that, like I'm saying, like a Tavis Smiley or a,
some of
a
them Roland do.
Martin saying that, hey, if you want to be on my show, you got to send me a check.
Some of them do that.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And the reason why they do it is because, just like, you know, Jeff said, time is money. And if you already have those big time people who have those big time networks and things of that nature, you got to take care of them some kind of way. Now, sometimes what happens if they're already established, if they already have a significant amount of money of their own, they probably won't charge you because they already have it. But sometimes, you know, that dollar speaks more than integrity.
Mike says, stop being nice and give us some numbers.
I never revealed all that, yeah, but let's just say I'll give you this. There was one person I interviewed who I'm glad I got to interview them this time, but the first time of going around, they said it was going to cost between $1,200 to $1,400. I'm not going to reveal who that person was, but let's just say they were big time, and I'm going to just leave that there.
I feel it. Okay. Oh, it was me, y'all. It was me. It was me. I, you know, times are tough. Preaching gigs were drying up. You know, I had to do what I could do. But I love this. And there is Chanel done jumped on. Uh-oh, here she comes.
I love Chanel. I love Chanel Dior, but y'all know I love me some Chanel Harris.
No, I'm talking about Chanel Harris. I'm talking about Chanel Harris. You didn't.
I saw both of them. Yeah, you saw both of them.
And I yeah.
With your fine self, girl, about to change your last name to Gunther. Go ahead.
All right, we're about to mute him. We're about to mute him now. We didn't come here for this.
Woo!
I love it, man. I'm learning about the business. I love it. I'm hearing it. And that's why I'm just giving it, like, I never heard of it. And I'm loving that. Loving that that play does allow you to receive for the work you put in, because you are providing more platforms. And I don't think you can, diminish that impact, that, you know, your views are their views too.
Right.
They really are. And what really makes me shake my head sometimes is particularly in the Black community, when they're like, well, why should I give you this amount to promote my business and advertisement? Well, if you want to have your things promoted and things marketed to hear, you know, the kind of response that you can get, you're going to have to pay something. You don't go to the other TV stations or the radio people and ask them, why are they charging? So if you don't do that to them, why won't you do that to a guy like myself who has, I'm going to just call it out the way I see it. I know the kind of reach that I have, and I know right. The kind of person that I am and the kind of heart that I have. If you want to go advertise with somebody else, by all means, go ahead. That's your money. That's your business. But they ain't got my effect. They don't have what I have. I got favor and a work ethic, and that's something that you can't teach or you can't buy.
I love it. But you just let me know. I need to call WFMJ and tell them they owe me some money for all these interviews they did.
I mean, well,
my life in danger and everything.
I only got like 3 friends that work there. Everybody else.
Well, I just want you to know that you've started a beef because Fernando ain't happy that you're doing grass. Fernando was like, look, man, you know, y'all promote me. Forget his grass cutting.
It is the literal turf war. This is the literal turf war over actual turf.
Let the games begin, people. Let the games begin.
So where does Chris Gunther go, man? It's 2021. COVID is almost, hopefully, is about to be over. Hopefully.
I hope so.
Where does Chris Gunther see himself? I mean, I know you're still working on these interviews, and do you think, and I just want to be real transparent here, because I know that because of COVID, there are a lot of people out of work and they're just looking for any platform. Mm-hmm. Once people get back to work, you know, it might be a little harder, and matter of fact, probably a little bit more expensive to get some of these people. So where are you going from here, man? And I know you're about to get married, but what do you see yourself at in the next year or two, man?
I see myself on a legit TV or digital streaming network. And that's just based off of pure confidence, work ethic, and faith. I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody is going to give me a chance. Somebody's going to give me an opportunity, and I'm going to make sure that I'm ready. I'll never forget this. It was a few years ago. Mind you, I've been doing digital things before COVID hit. I was on the grind before the coronavirus. Once the virus unfortunately happened, what it allowed for me to do was increase my work ethic. It allowed me to really research who can I get next, who can I get next. And it felt as if like every week I was interviewing somebody bigger. And I just sat back and said, nobody will ever be able to tell me that God is fake, because I know this is all God. And I was actually in prayer during last year, it was in March leading into April, because I had things lined up before COVID hit that was really going to blow you guys' mind. But once the coronavirus hit, I'm like, man, there's nothing that I can really do. So I kept asking, I said, Lord, like, what do I do? And I heard the Lord tell me, just go. I said, go where? And God, literally, as clear as I'm talking to you guys, I heard the Lord say, if you do like if you do what I told you, if you go like I told Abraham, I'm going to show you something that's going to blow your mind. Wow. I said, all right, got you. And I just started walking little by little. Next thing I know, I'm talking to Jason Weaver. I'm talking to Tommy Davidson. I'm talking to Sinbad. I'm talking to bigger people. And I'm just like, wow. But what it also allowed me to do was it gave me what I would like to call a preview. The preview is something that you like, but it's not the main attraction. It's like a nice appetizer before you get the big meal. I feel like everything I'm doing right now is just a preview and an appetizer before I get what's really mine. And that's where I'm at with it. I'm enjoying my appetizer, but I'm saving enough room until I can get my big meal. And once that happens, everybody that said I couldn't do it or said that, man, he was cocky, et cetera, et cetera, I'm going to look at them and do like our boy Kobe did and just laugh at him and keep winning.
Right.
Come on, sir. Come on, sir.
Love it.
You got any more talk? Well, before we go, man, I didn't talk to Big Mike or Larry or Todd about this, but you know, I'm going to go ahead and extend you an invitation to become part of the Religiously Incorrect family. Now, listen, we ain't got no money, but we can pay you, we can pay you in t-shirts and t-shirts and mugs. And what you're going to do for us is you're going to get the stars and let me and Todd interview.
And the money. We want the money, too.
Y'all want my connects and the money?
Money, too. Man, listen, you ain't got nobody, Chris, man. Listen, we about to interview Abraham Lincoln. We about to interview aliens. We about to interview Jesus.
What is wrong with y'all, man?
Y'all ain't seen nothing, man. Okay, we got some... we got a couple viewer questions.
What's up?
Chanel asked, so when you interview your guests, what is the lesson or message you're trying to convey? That was Chanel's question. Chanel Dior.
It depends on who my guest is, but to answer that question in a, you know, just a general context, the vital lesson I'm trying to, you know, convey to them is whoever I'm interviewing, I want their story to get out. I want their story to get out about what they have going on, the tests, the trials, the good, the not so good, because we all have a story and we all have something that we're trying to get out. And most of the time, particularly in this area, you can't go to the other outlets because they're only going to give you like 30 seconds worth of camera time and you don't get the full thing. When you come in on the Chris Gunther show, I give you all the time in the world. Come on, let's go ahead and talk. Let's dive deep into it. And everybody I've interviewed, after they see it, they either give me a thumbs up or they'd be like, man, can we do another one? And that touches my heart because it goes to show me that I've been a blessing to them some kind of way. And I'm glad that I'm able to benefit my community in the best way that I possibly can.
Awesome. And Lady Charlene asked, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
ESPN, ABC, Fox, okay. You know, somewhere around that caliber is where I see myself.
I say CGBN, the Chris Gunther Broadcasting Network.
I can take that too. I can take that. And I'm so glad you mentioned that because
you'll be on Fire Stick and all. I mean, you'll be on the Fire Stick that don't work.
You know, I'm gonna reveal something to you guys that I have not shared. All right,
it's exclusive.
It's a rip exclusive.
I'm giving you exclusive, baby.
Yes.
My fiance is probably gonna say, "Wow, he went there." There was a potential streaming deal in the works. Earlier, they reached out to me late last year and we talked about the possibility of my show getting picked up. And then there was something that happened and it fell through. But one of the things that taught me was while you are appreciative of somebody wanting to pick you up, you can't get stagnant in where you are. And I've shared this on multiple platforms and multiple things that I've done. When I came back from the Stellars, nobody was rocking with me. The local stations weren't rocking with me. The radio stations weren't rocking with me. Man, even, and I'm not throwing shade at anybody that works here, But even call centers were not rocking with me at all. Like, you know it's bad when Infosys and tells you we're not going to hire you. Just being truthful, all right? But what I did was
I
took all of the motivation and the fuel and the rejection, and I said, I'm going to just do the Chris Gunther show. And I'm just going to go out here. I'm going to just start. I'm going to just shoot my shots, see what I can do with it. And now I'm at the point where, as much as I still want to get picked up by a network and a station, because that's not anything that we're going to just cast down, I also don't want to just settle there, because as Blacks, we still have to have our own ownership. There's a reason why you see the CG logo right here, because this is mine. That's, you know, it. Every interview you see at the lower right-hand or left-hand corner, my logo is there for a reason, because nobody will ever be able to try and take my name away from me. And I'm learning that as I go. I'm learning that as I go along, because I want to make sure that I own my stuff. Yeah, I can collaborate with somebody, but I'm not going to sell my rights over to anybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think I have any more. Wait, I do have one more. Sean asked, have you ever been placed in a position where your ministry spoke for you in your interviews?
Absolutely. It sure has. I remember when I was interviewing DJ Kid Capri, and I was talking to a couple people after the interview, some of his people looked at me and was like, you a preacher, I could tell. I didn't introduce myself as Elder Chris, as Minister Chris, as Pastor Chris. I just introduced myself as Chris. But when God's hand is on you, even the enemies can see it. And let's just call it, you know, let's call a spade as a matter of fact, Todd, you might remember this. You actually told me, take minister off when you're doing your interviews. You said you can reach more people just by being Chris, the minister. I was like, all right, bet. So what I did was I took Big Bro's advice and I ran with it. And that was in the earlier stages of the Chris Gunther show. I think that might have been by like my fourth interview. I took the minister part off and I just kept going and kept growing with it, because I wanted people to get to know me for myself. Now right. I'm at the point where people have literally hit me up asking, can I come on your show? But I'm too busy now. I just can't, you know, do it. And with every good thing, there does come bad things. But what I'm learning how to do is forget the negativity and forget the naysayers, because even Christ had haters.
Right, right. And you know what? It's come off of your name, you know, and your official branding, but it's always a part of your nature, and it bleeds through, it shows through. You know, people see your light, those artists, those Hollywood stars, those sports stars, they see your light. And you can take a name, but you can't take your nature. And I see it all in you. And that's where a big part of your blessing has come from, and the favor on your life is coming from. And so we want everybody to give it up for Chris Gunther and the Chris Gunther show. Give it up, give it up, give it up. I want to see hand claps, hearts, likes, and all that jazz. Now, before we bring in Big Mike to wrap up and ask a few more questions, we do want to, again, thank our sponsors for being a big part of the success of Religiously Incorrect podcast and supporting us, the Phillips Care family of businesses, as I call it. We talked about Phillips Care Cleaning. We also want to shout out Phillips Care Training. They are the proud new owners of High Street Fitness at 277 South High Street in Cortland. We ain't just talking about somebody who started out, by the way, very much like Chris. Mike started out doing workouts in the park with anybody who's willing. And now God has blessed him, his hard work, his ethic, his family strength. They have bought an entire fitness gym in Cortland. They're doing big things. We're very proud of you. So Phillips Care Training are running a special for the new year. It's not really the new year no more, so this must be get your beach body together or whatever, your post-COVID body. If you want to get them COVID pounds off, you know what I'm saying, them cupcake pounds, you call Mike at High Street Fitness. Check out their Facebook page. Or give them a call at 330-984-7632. That's, again, 330-984-7632. They take care of the fat that makes you whack.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, bars. Come on, Big Mike.
What's up, everybody? Y'all crazy, man.
I'm canceled. Somebody cancel me.
No, we not canceling you, man.
I want to be part of cancel culture.
No, you don't.
It's I didn't talk about midgets, fat people, fly.
I got your back. Don't worry. I got you back. It's all good.
What's up, Mike? What's going on with you?
Mr. Youngstown, thanks for being on. Appreciate you taking out the time to hang out with us tonight, man.
I appreciate the invite, man. Shout out to the Religiously Incorrect podcast. You guys do a great job every week with just laughter and having fun. And I mean, you guys are pastors, and on Sundays, I know that's your busiest day, but the fact that you guys faithfully just hang out virtually and do this podcast, just let your hair down, let the robes off, and just have good conversations, man. This is great content. You guys do a great job. And both of y'all preach like y'all lost your minds today too, by the way.
That's why I'm so crazy at night. That's why I got my friends at 9 o'clock.
You see me and Mike let our hair down.
Right. You're sitting on a dresser.
It's just chilling like, yeah.
Right. You'll be back.
Chris, how many shows do you have, man? You got the podcast. You do the basketball games. You do the interviews. I mean, you be all over the place, man.
I'm grateful, man. God has blessed me not to be a lazy Negro, you know, so I don't want to. Yeah. I'm just, you know, blessed and very
watch
glad.
That, Chris. Watch it. That's off and close, Doc. That was off and close.
Okay. He was right about there, Doc.
This is religiously incorrect.
We are incorrect.
I could say it, but I ain't gonna do that to y'all. I like it. If I didn't like your podcast, I'd have dropped a couple N-bombs and all that good stuff.
That's it.
But Mike, to answer your question, right now I have three shows. I'm doing the Chris Gunther Show. I'm doing the Balcony Podcast with my big bro Aaron from Calvary. You know, make sure y'all check that out on Friday nights at 7. We do a great job doing that. Aaron, by far, one of the best co-hosts I've ever had. And I'm going to be revamping Chris Gunther's The City really soon. Last year, actually, what I was doing, this was right before COVID. I was in the middle of filming season 2. We were doing great. And then COVID hit. And what The City is, it's a little different from the Chris Gunther Show because it's like, have you ever seen Uninterrupted, The Shop with like LeBron James and Draymond Green? Yeah. And you have all those pop culture icons and sports and entertainment, and they all come together and just have some kind of conversation. And I'm like, well, I want to do that in my hometown. So I came up with Chris Gunther's The City. And season 1 was great. I had, you know, Auntie Carla, Judge Carla Baldwin on there. Our friend Terrell Vidal was on. I had Councilman Julius Oliver was on there. I had a bunch of big name people. So season 2, I was coming out the gates ready to keep firing. And then COVID happened. And I'm like, man. So I am still in talks about getting that show back up and going. It's just a matter of, you know, at this point, it's the blessing and the curse of what I have. The blessing is I've interviewed a nice amount of people in the city. The curse of that, too, is I've interviewed a nice amount of people in the city trying to figure out who can be my guest soon as, you know,
out
season.
Of people.
Right. And it's like, man, but that will be coming in soon, though. So that definitely will be coming soon.
Good.
And I have to end up getting butt and boo boo them.
Yeah, you can interview Joe the policeman from the What's Going Down episode. Oh. That's your mama.
Nah, I'm gonna try to get Randy Watson before I get him.
Right.
Now for the fans who've been rocking with us from day one, Chris actually co-hosted with
us. He did last night.
Yes, sir.
Jeff thought he was 20 years old playing basketball, trying to do something, and he couldn't make it. So I called Chris, man, and Chris was like, Mike, I got
you. No. It's time to tell the truth, man. This cat had the runs, man. Just tell the truth, man. This cat had the runs.
I did. I was running up and down the basketball.
Hey, I didn't ask questions because I'm like, nope, it's all good. If they need me, I got you.
He came through, made it happen. You know, Chris, you stepped in, man. So we appreciate you, man. Because again, you're the interviewer of the stars, man. And you over here, down here at the church by the side of the road, having our little podcast by the railroad tracks, man. So we appreciate you stepping in.
I really enjoyed it. And, you know, just like a kind of, this is somewhat of a nice trivia fact. My grandmother, her house was actually close to Second Baptist.
Okay.
That's where my dad grew up at. And, you know, because my father grew up in like the Highland Homes, but then they moved into a house. And ironically, every time I come up to Warren, which obviously I can't come up as much because everything's crazy what's going on. But anytime I would ride past Second Baptist, I would ride down the street where my grandmother's house was. And now it's not there anymore. It's a big lot. But yeah, like every time I would come up there, I would drive down there because my dad is from Warren. So I have Warren, you know, roots. So I can't just discredit that because that's half of my bloodline.
Absolutely. You know, everybody's grandma lived next to Second Baptist.
Right. It's very true, though.
Everybody's grandma lived next to Second Baptist.
So let me ask you this, man. Why you ain't interviewed nobody from Warren, man? You ain't got no love for the Warren side?
Oh, don't even
say that. You ain't got no love for the Warren side?
Let it be known, then.
I almost called y'all the N-words, but I don't do it. I almost did it. I interviewed both of you guys earlier on the Chris Gunther show, so let's get that straight. Todd, didn't I come up and do a pre-live with you for the Marvin Sapp concert?
You did.
And you know what? Since we throwing things out here, Pastor Jeff, I've been invited to come preach at your church, Pastor Johnson. You got something you want to tell me?
My church. You got to check with my agent and see how much it costs to preach at my church. We'll get our rates to you. I'll cut you a deal, though.
You'll cut me a
deal. All right, real quick.
Yes, sir.
I
got time, man. So y'all go right ahead.
Okay. Just to switch it up a little bit. I just got an alert on my phone from CNN, and it said that the white delegation is trying to make a trade for Stacey Dash.
Oh,
they're trying to give her back, yo.
We don't want Stacey. Stay over there. You lost your black card. You stay over there.
I mean, if she tithing, I'll think about it. She tithing. Only if she's tithing.
See, I ain't gonna say nothing about Stacey because okay.
Y'all, my whole thing is,
I know what Jeff about to say. We already know what Jeff's about to say. Stacey used to be the stuff. That's what she's about to say.
Yeah, I think Stacey, that's why he's turning colors.
Stacey used to be the stuff to Jeff. That's what I. That's
she was though. She used to be. I don't know.
We didn't know she was like 42 in them teenage movies though. We didn't know she had like grandkids.
She was still fine though.
She was still fine though.
She's a beautiful woman. God's creation. There must be a God.
Yay, Lord. Hallelujah.
There's a God somewhere.
With a body like this.
Okay. Let me ask you. Who should the black delegation trade?
Ooh, for Stacey Dash.
Excellent question.
Kanye?
No, Kanye can stay where he's at. We don't necessarily want Brother Kanye with us at the moment.
Yeah, he might drop a hot track. We got to keep him.
You know, I'm going to be like my good friend Dave Chappelle said. I'm going to just go ahead and plead the fifth.
Man.
You can't plead the fifth on religion.
Fifth. Go ahead, ask me a question. Fifth.
I can't think of somebody I'd like to. Well, no, I could think. Let's see. Well, half the people I would say have already been traded off, like Senator Tim Scott, the dude that wouldn't indict Breonna Taylor's killers. Mm-hmm. He's sold off already.
Yeah.
Candace Owens, she's already back on the plantation. Yeah. Pretty much any black person. Who's that dude in Cleveland? Your dude, Daryl Scott.
Oh my God!
Yes, favorite preacher.
Yes. He goes.
We'll trade him for Stacey Dash.
Yes.
Exactly. You know, if Stacey Dash comes back on this side, she has a 6-month silence, like the PAW used to do. Having babies out of wedlock.
Now, Daryl's gonna come crawling back when he find out that the white people don't have no Beijing for his hair, and he can't get his stuff. He'll be back. He'll be like, oh shoot.
Oh crazy.
Yeah, Stacey.
Go ahead.
Stacey gonna have to get sat down for like six
months.
Yeah,
she gotta be sat down. She can come, but she gotta sit. She can't talk.
We gonna take her back though? We taking her back?
Yes, we take her back. And this is gonna be an unpopular opinion, but I'm gonna say it anyway. We're taking Stacey Dash and we're giving away Tracy Wimbush.
Oh, he made Todd get up. Oh man. Oh, he made him have to. He made him get up and walk.
He made him get up and walk.
I've been friends with him for a while. I've never seen him just get up and walk like that. Wow, man.
The views of Jeff Stanford are not the views of incorrect.
I love Tracy. I love Tracy's family. I love her, but Y'all know Tracy. Come on.
I love Tracy too.
I've never met Tracy at all. I've never.
Oh, how? You need to do that interview. Then you need to do that interview.
I've never met her. So I don't know her at all. She don't know me. So
I need to make that happen. I want to see that interview happen because she's off our list. She's off our list now. All right, y'all. We have a big fat announcement for y'all. Everybody that tuned in last week to watch us interview Paul PDA Allen, the visionary of Pajam, Jay Moss, Clark Sisters, work with Kirk, Beyonce, everybody else. So much great feedback. Well, okay. He got good. Man, I was in
I'm
my
sorry. Third. I'm sorry.
Clothes, man. I was in my third clothes.
You brought up PDA. I just have to make an announcement that him and Pajam actually won a Grammy tonight for gospel.
Yes. Rock. Yes. Pajam won a Grammy tonight. We're not watching it. We're the only people on the planet Earth not watching the Grammys because we're so dedicated to this show. But, but okay. So back to Grammy winner. Paul PDA Allen Pajam, they were great last week. We have another great gospel legend. I'm talking about the sound of my spiritual formation, the kind of sound that made us young brothers stay off the streets, quite frankly. I'm talking about Mr. Wrapped Up, Tied Up, Tangled Up from Dawkins and Dawkins. We're welcoming Anson Dawkins.
Yeah,
he's going to be with us. Singer, songwriter, producer, musician, Anson Dawkins. I mean, they were a part of that crew of people that came out in the 90s and were just taking it to the next level when Kirk was dropping and, you know, Fred was hitting. Dawkins and Dawkins was right there. And so we want you to tune in next week, March 21st, 9 p.m., Facebook or YouTube. Bring your questions. Bring your comments. Tell them how much you appreciate their ministry and how they've done. And let's just continue to grow the religiously incorrect audience. So Dawkins and Dawkins, Anson Dawkins will be with us next week. Make sure you tune in, share, like, and keep pushing the movement. Anybody else want to finish up and say anything?
Thank y'all for having me. You know, this was a lot of fun. March 21st, I will be, if the Lord lets me, March 21st, I'll be celebrating 26 years of life. So yeah. Hey. And I just would like to say, if anybody would like to, you know, bless the brother, my Cash App is $ Chris L. Gunther. There we go.
Here it comes. Here it comes. Just while saying. We had it, my Cash App. No.
Let the Lord bless you and use you real good. Because the brother want to get a burger from Five Guys. Yes.
Oh yeah.
They are expensive.
Yes.
Yeah. I got you,
man, on your birthday. I got you.
Hey.
I got you, brother. I got you. Listen. Well, Wednesday, our sound will be out, correct? It was Wednesday?
Yeah, the audio
will be out. Y'all can look it up on Facebook, Instagram, IG, all that. Any streaming platform, please go out, check us out, hit us up, download us on YouTube for all our stuff, man. Come check us out, man. Get some gear, y'all. Get some religiously incorrect gear. I'm telling you, it's hot.
And it will also be available on all your podcast downloads. So wherever you download your podcast, Apple Music, iHeart, Spotify, it doesn't matter. We are there. So check us out. Show your support.
Subscribe to Religiously Incorrect. You will not be disappointed with Pastor Todd Johnson, Big Mike, Pastor Stanford. They will leave you laughing. They will definitely make sure that you feel good. And they will always make sure that they have some great guests like yours truly.
Get your RIP socks, y'all. Your RIP socks.
Make it happen. Take us out, Big Mike. Y'all have a great week.
Peace. See y'all next week.